Hearst interview with Mr. Charles Worthington of Mason County, Kentucky, on 8/29/1988. The interviewer is Lynn David. You were telling me that your family, or your father or your grandfather, lived in Mason County?
Mason County. My grandfather lived in Mason County. He came down there from Millersburg. He married his wife up to Millersburg. She was a Hamilton. And she had two brothers lived there in Millersburg. And they come down here and bought this farm south close to Mr. Cecil McCarthy. Joined him there.
Right outside of Mays Lake.
Right outside of Mays Lake on the Johnson Station Road. And so he had some of his children was born in Mason, in Bourbon County, but most of them was born in Mason County. There's 12 children. And they all died except five under the age of 30. And so my father was the youngest one of the family. And when my grandfather died, he was 19 years old. And he had in the will that he was supposed to run the farm on and stay there till he's 21 years old before they had to divide it. So he divided up and he went to, after they sold the farm, he went to Johnson Station to live with his sister, Peace. She died in a year or so. And he come back to Mays Lake and stayed with Gator Worthington.
With who?
Gator Worthington. And then he... I think he's a brother of the police judge, Jess Worthington. And the Mays Lake used to have, was incorporated, and it had a jail there. And,
So he went to live with Jess Worthington then?
Gator Worthington. And, they had the jail and the police judge and there's a fellow in the name of White was town marshal there at that time. So Charlie Barnett told me last night, his daddy used to talk about it. So after my father met my mother and married in 1901 and come to Fleming County. And he would go back every once in a while, he'd stop and tell us these old stories about Mays Lake, how prosperous it was and all. They had a horse and my uncle run a livery stable there, and he would keep the horses of Sunday morning. The Catholic would come to church and they'd put their horses in the stable. They wouldn't take them outside, a lot of them. They'd put them in the stable and keep them there. You're in church hour.
What was your uncle's name?
Bill Worthington. Soap. They called him Soap.
Why? Do you know?
I don't know why they had a nickname of Soap.
Yeah.
And he had a boy. There's a Ryan boy there. I think he's dead now, but he's got a boy. Soap Ryan, they called him down there. It was named after him. So, my father, was a great friend of the Bences. Georgie Bence was a shoe cobbler, had a shoe cobbler there. And then he had a brother named Othie Bence. And Georgie Bence killed a fella and they sent him to the penitentiary and he worked as the shoe cobbler all the time he was in the pen. And he come back and my father went down there just before he died, and he made him a pair of leather boots.
What was it? Who'd he kill, do you know?
I don't know who he killed about it. And he had a brother named Othie. I knowed him. I was down to the basketball game once or twice and saw him
talking to him. And Maid Lick used to be a pretty prosperous little town. There used to be a colored fellow that run a blind fellow that run a store there, Jim Hicks.
Now, I think that was Taylor White, wasn't it, that was blind? And
well, maybe it was Taylor White.
Jim Hicks also had a store there, though.
Yeah, he ran his store there.
Yeah.
And they had several big stores there at that time. So my father would go back and visit those people every once in a while. And they, in 1908, they had a, they cut out the back. And it got so cheap that they cut it out. And they, when anybody would try to raise tobacco like you do nowadays, they'd find them now, but they would go and make them tear up the beds, get on their horses, and they'd go call them out at the night and make them go and tear the beds up. So the long neckers down there below Mays Lick on North Fork, they raised some. So the night riders, when he went in up the house in a transit and fixed his guns and set some barbed wire around in the yard, and they all come in there, and he began to shoot at them, and they left. And there's a fellow named Gibson, he died right down here. They reported that he was dead, but he showed up in the Mays Lick a week afterwards, and they never did go back and night ride them anymore. So they raised their tobacco.
So Longnecker went ahead and raised it and sold it.
It's a big house on the left as you go down the North Fork. I think it's off the old road, on the old road.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Do you know that Gibson's first name? Or?
Yeah, Chan.
Chan Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Was he shot?
They never did know. He reported around Mays Lick that he was shot, but said he showed up a few days after that.
Do you know anybody else the night riders visited?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a neighbor. We had a neighbor. We lived over on the Cowan and Ewing Road, and there was a fellow, Mr. Cord. James Cord lived down there across the road from us, and his wife was, mine was bad. And he decided to raise an acre of tobacco in the cornfield. So he put it out, and he slept out in the brush pile, he said, me most of the night, several nights. But my mother, we imagined that she'd hear him going down there every night after him. But he got by. They started down here after him once. And Mr. Stickrod had run this big store right down here. He talked them out of it. He told them that his wife's man was bad and to just go on back. And he got by. And that year he got $600 out of his tobacco and put him on his feet. He lived pretty good after that. And he had a son that was a barber here. And, then Mr. Paris Fern, over the Cowan, lived down on Fleming Creek. And he put out two tobacco beds over in Mexico. So, or at the edge of Mexico.
Mexico, Kentucky?
No, they had a little country back in here they call Mexico, from Fleming Creek on over the river. Used to be just Jolly's Mitchell's and all, but there ain't nobody hardly lives in there now. Ain't nobody living in there now. It's just farms, land, brushes, and briars. So he said he woke up one night about 1 o'clock, and he said he looked out, heard a noise, and he looked out, and he said he must have been 100 horses out there and people. He said he never saw such a crowd. And he went out and he said, are you got some tobacco beds plowed or set out? I said, yeah. Well, they said, get your grub hole and dig them out. Well, he said, I haven't got any grubbing hole. Well, he said, you better get one. And so he went down, he said, well, I got to go down to my mother's. She lived down on the creek there. And he went down there and slipped in and got it and come back. He said they stood there and watched him dig that all up. They wouldn't even help him a bit. He dug all of that up, both back of beds. So he said it went on for years. There was a fella, he's dead now, lived right down here on Buckhannon, and he was tripping the biker. His boy, Herdy, was telling me about it, and said that he come in all, he talked all even to him. Said he talked around this and that. Said about quitting time, he said, well, Mr. Fern, he said, I've come here to talk to you on some business. Well, he said, that's all right, let's talk. He said that I was in that bunch that made you dig up that biker bed. And Herdy said, he's high-tempered anyhow, Herdy said he could just see his chin quiver. And he said he never said nothing for 15 minutes. And said directly, he said, well, sir, he said, that was a bad job. But he said, I'm going to forgive you for it. But he said it was a bad job.
Who was the boy that was a Herdy what?
Herdy, that's his boy. His son.
Oh, his own son?
Yeah.
Was it one of them?
Well, no, McLean.
Oh.
What McLean was the fellow
that was in it.
That was in it. And Herdy, he got religion and wanted to forgive.
Was anybody killed in those wars?
Yeah, no, I don't think there was, but there's several barns burned down in Robeson County. Jasper Sellers down here at Snow Hill was the ringleader of the whole bunch. He had a son that was chief police or detective in Lexington, John L. Sellers.
But he was head of the night riders for the whole area?
Oh, he'd get them all together. You know, you hear of it, and he'd get them all together, and they'd get on the horses and go.
So they really covered about three counties then?
No, they covered, yes. There's Mason and Flint, Robinson. But they burnt some barns down in Mason and
Robinson
County.
Did you ever talk to that Sellers about it?
No, I never did. Yeah, I never did. But my father would talk all about it. There's a fellow named Mauser that bought the back of that fall down here at Nepton at the warehouse. Pete, my nephew, owns it now. He bought the backer. They went after him one night and told him not to buy no tobacco. And he told them whenever the American Tobacco Company told him quit buying tobacco, he'd quit. So he kept on, he bought it that year. Well,
they didn't run them off, the buyers?
No, they didn't run them off. So. See, you would strip it and take it down to the warehouse and they'd prize it. Buy you so much, about 3 cents a pound or something like that is what buyer was worth then.
Now prizing means?
Yeah, prize it. Press it, put it in a barrel, hold it, you know, put a big screw down, press it tight.
What was your dad's name?
My dad, Rader, Alexander Rader Worthing.
And your mom?
Sadie Mae Stone.
Stone?
She come from Missouri, Carrollton, Missouri.
Know where that is?
And they was in that flood out there. There were ice gorges. I forgot what year that was, 18-something. The Missouri River ice gorge filled the water all back on the land. Talked like it's level land back in there. That's where she talked to us. And they come out of the boat. And he went back after the water went down. He'd had a sail several days before that. He was coming to Kentucky. So I think they come, when they got to Kentucky, I think they landed right down here by Johnson Junction, where Reuben Toll Farm is. I don't know if you know where that is or not.
No.
It's out on that Johnson Station Road.
What was your grandfather's name?
Charlie Stone.
That was on your mother's side. Mm-hmm. What was on your dad's side?
Thomas D. Worthington.
Thomas. And do you knew both your grandparents' fathers?
No, just one.
You just knew the Worthington grandfather?
No, the Stone.
The Stone?
Mm-hmm. He died in 1919.
What was
18.
What was your grandmother's name, Grandmother Stone's name?
She was a Maddie Neal, I believe she was. She's from Missouri.
Both of them were from around Carrollton then? Or?
Mm-hmm. Her mother, and she had a sister, Lottie, that lived out there. She used to write in a letter to us from Carrollton, Missouri.
Did you ever go out to Carrollton?
No, I never was in Missouri. I always wanted to go, and I always wanted to take my mother out there, take her back, but I never did get it done.
Yeah. How come they went from Missouri, came back to Kentucky? Had they originally come from Kentucky?
Yeah, they were Stones down here in Kentucky. They had one brother lived right down here at Nepton. He had one, and he had one brother that lived in Maysville, Jim Stone. And they're about all deceased now. One boy, I think, to live in Ben Covington, the Jim Stone there.
And you said your dad was the youngest boy.
Yeah.
How many, do you know his brothers and sisters' names? Or?
It's on that Bible list, do you?
Yeah. Do you know any of your uncles personally?
No, I know Uncle Bill. I used to go over and stay a week at the labor stable.
What all did he do at the livery stable? Did he...
He loaned horses out, or rent horses out, you know, horse and buggy, just like you'd rent a car nowadays. Yeah. He'd put your horse in and feed it. There's some boys, people over here on this road, this Medgar Mill Road, would drive to school. Maysville used to have a good school, about one of the best there was around. And there was a pal girl drove her horse over there. He'd put her in there. And Mr. Ely Williams used to drive a horse bus, pick up kids too, go around like he would these trucks would now and haul kids.
How much would he charge to?
I don't know how much. Not very much.
Yeah.
10 or 15 cents them days was
big money
them days. Yeah.
So as a boy, you were in Maysville a lot then, weren't you?
What'd you say?
I said, as a boy, you were in Maysville a lot.
Oh, yeah, I was there a week time. Then after later up in years, when they got playing basketball, I was over there several times. They used to have good basketball teams over there.
At the Maysville High School?
The high school up there.
Yeah. What other... were there any saloons in Maysville when you were a boy?
Father used to say that there's saloon, maybe one or two. Meissner's around it.
Where was it?
I don't know where he was in there, he said.
Yeah.
He was always against whiskey. He said that those Meissner's made a lot of money running, selling whiskey. Something happened to the family, I don't know. He said that there never was no money in making, getting money out of whiskey, he said, if something happened to you.
Wouldn't do you much good then.
No, that's what he said, yeah. And one story that he used to tell, he said there was a deaf and dumb fella down there, and he'd come up there in the liver stable and said he couldn't talk to him, but my uncle could talk to him on his hands. And so he said they got to stealing his wood. The colored people got to stealing his wood down there. And he come up there and wanting to borrow a gun. Well, my father was a great bird hunter. So he loaned him his gun, and he asked him how far to get let him get away before he shoot him. So he told him, and he said he fixed a maul, went in the house and put a maul on the table and run a string to the gate. And said when they opened the gate, they pulled that mall, the jar, he could feel the jar, and he knowed there's that. So he got a shotgun, went out, and they was getting his wood, and he let them get a little closer than what he intended to, and he stung on them pretty hard.
He lose any more wood?
I imagine he did.
Wonder where he lived.
I don't know where he lived. He could talk about that. He said he couldn't talk to him, but my uncle could talk to him on his finger.
Dad tell you any other stories?
Oh, yeah, there's several stories around. There was a great horse and buggy days, Sam. You catch a fellow with a yellow running gear buggy and a good horse, he was a rich man right them days.
Now, what kind of buggy?
Yellow. Painted yellow.
Painted yellow.
And rubber tires. Now, when Father come to, he used to have a good buggy that way, but later on, we got one with steel tires on it, like a wagon. And they would drive them horses, buggies. That buggy's cost, I don't know. I think there used to be a buggy making down to Maysville. I forgot what the name of it was.
I think there was one in Mays Lick, too,
at one time. And as Chris Howard, this woman's going to tell you that her father's stepfather was Chris Howard. And they say he made wagons. I've heard Father talk about him making wagons.
At Mays Lick?
Uh-huh. And made the wagon maker.
Wagon maker.
Made wagons with big wheels on them.
When was your dad born?
In 1872. Died in 1944, I believe. 72 years old when he...
Yeah. Now, did your grandfather fight in the Civil War?
No.
Did he ever say what side he was on, or...?
No, he never did.
Did you ever hear any old Civil War stories?
Not much, no. I never did know much. Yeah. There's older people that I
have. You meant about your grandfather's age. So
yeah.
I always wondered how it affected Mays Lick, whether the Civil War...
And I go to you on this, hanging this nigger down.
Yeah, I really want to hear about it, but she's coming in the driveway. Do you think we should wait? That's Mrs. Molly Davis, right?
Yeah.
Flemingsburg?
Right. I mean, she'll tell you a different story of what I'm going to tell you on this colored brother. But
I tell you what. Let's wait a...
16. And after I've got deputy sheriff, I've heard a lot of talk about it, and I had to arrest this fellow that tied the knot.
Oh, you know who hung him?
Yeah.
Well, what happened? Start from the first. Who was Grant Smith, and who were the people involved?
You got on now.
Uh-huh.
Red Anderson lived down on the Johnson Road, and his wife had TB, and he had several children. I don't know how many children he had, but he had one girl. And Red Anderson was a trader with Mark Henry. He was gone all the time, most of the time, and this colored fella was doing his work intended, and he would take care, wait on these kids. He'd give them their bath and dress them to go to school and stuff. It's what they tell me now. And so in the meantime, this girl, I don't know how old she was, 14, I believe, they said, or that she got pregnant. And she said it was Grant Smith. And so he went in Red and he left. Red Anderson went to, and Mark Henricks went to Cincinnati to the Cal Cram Detective Agency and got to, and told them they'd give him $500 if they'd get him. This colored fellow had gone, he'd went to the Kalamazoo Mission where he was. And so he, they sent a colored preacher up here to Nepton. And
who's the
Holy Breaker Revival.
Who sent the preacher?
The Cal Cram detective.
Okay.
He was a detective, but he was a preacher too. And he got them all worked up. So he told them about on Thursday night or something like that. Or he told them, he said, on Friday night maybe, he said, "You, any of you all in trouble? Your husband, your family in trouble?" Well, he said, "You stay in after the services," and said, "We'll pray together and see if we can't help you." Well, Grant's wife saved.
Grant Smith was married then.
He was married, yeah.
You know his wife's name?
No, I didn't. She worked down here in the store for Ms. Williams. I mean, to help. So she stayed, and he asked her what her trouble was, and she said that her husband was in trouble with a white girl. And he talked to her, and he said, "Have you got his picture?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "You know where he's at?" She said, "Yeah, he was in Kalamazoo, Michigan." And so she went and got his picture, and he closed the meeting that night. He went up to Kalamazoo, Michigan, and they said that this colored fellow was along the street. They put fruit out on the street them days, and he run on him, and he wanted him to steal some apples. And and Grant said, "No," said, "I'm in enough trouble already," said, "I don't want to steal." He talked him into stealing some apples. And, of course, they had a detective watching for him. As soon as he sold, they put both of them in jail. And the detective went on out the back door, I imagine. And so they called the sheriff's office here. And Mr. George Powell was the deputy sheriff over here at Lisle. He went up there and to get him. And so in the late years, I didn't know this till just year, there's two people over here at Lisle watching in Cincinnati, see which way they'd bring him after he come to Cincinnati, whether he come up the river to Maysville or go to Paris. So he went to Paris. And
guys are that watched?
Yeah, Grimes Trumbo and Lucian Early. They're both dead now.
And they watched for him.
They watched, they said, and they were going to call the mob back, Red Anderson them, to who it was. And he went by Paris. And I heard one boy say, old Ken, that he heard him say that he going up there, going up from Paris, coming to Paris, that he got up with and pulled the curtain down on the train.
Grant Smith did?
Yeah, Grant did, yeah. So George Powell called the chief police at Paris, Fred Lynch, and he'd killed 7 colored people already. He hated the colored man.
Killed him outright or by the law?
Law, by law. So he met him at the train, and they took him to the jail. The jail's way on this side of Paris. And this mob was there waiting. And when they got him, they took him away from him. And they come on down, put him in the car, and they come on down here to Fairview. Well, in the meantime, there's two of them. They were Mason County people. One of them was Joe Robinson over here. And I forgot who the other fellow was. Got lost in the deal. And they come down on the night train and told down here at the depot about it. So Von Adams and a bunch of them drove out there that night, and they done gone, but he was still warm. So they hung him down there at Conley Hill at the Horseshoe Bend. And Bad Lax Daring, they say, just grabbed a hold of him. His brother tied the knot.
Who was his brother?
Jimmy Daring. He tied the knot and put on the nigger, and he put something over his eye. And Bad Lax just ran in and grabbed him and railed him up there. And they pulled a rope up and tied him. Tied his hand behind him with barbed wire. And they went all left him. And so they were several of them. Charlie Barnard, I was talking to him not very long ago. I was talking to him last night, but he said that Mr. Tom Bell Robinson over there was one of them. Said they saw him at Eden. He had an old Haynes automobile. And said he went down. They all met going down. Said they could see him through. They lived at Snow Hill. Go down the road to meet with him over to Paris. And Joe Robinson was one of them. And all the two Deerings and Mark Hendricks and some Hornbacks. And I didn't know a lot more of them. So they hung him.
Sheriff didn't try to stop him?
The sheriff, no, he didn't know anything about it.
Well, who had him in the car then? Who had him in the car from Paris?
The mob.
The mob got him from the sheriff in Paris.
Yeah.
And the sheriff in Paris didn't try to stop him?
They couldn't stop him. There wasn't nothing they could do.
Didn't follow the mob?
No. He took him down and hung him. And so he was buried right over here at Poplar Run, about 2 miles from here, on top of the hill. And Price Brothers, well, they cut him down. They were undertakers, went out there and got him and buried him. So there's something happened to every one of them fellows in that mob, they say. Something bad. This Bad Lax Daring had grabbed a hold of him, he shot himself. His brother tied the knot. He shot his father, and I had to arrest him. I was deputy sheriff, and I had to arrest him on election day. Took him in. I remember they kept trying to get a hold of the sheriff, and they called me. So there was a carpenter there, election officer, and he said, "I'm going up there with you." I said, "I'll go." He said, "Why go?" Charlie said, "I'm going with you." He went up there with me, and he never put up no resistance at all. I took him into jail, and the sheriff was out there. He said, "What are you doing? What's going on here?" I said, "Jimmy Daring shot his father." He said, "On purpose?" I said, "Yeah." He just grabbed him by the arm and said, "Come on over here," and took him over in jail. And then when he was...
Did he kill his father?
He finally died, yeah. A few days after.
How come he shot him? Did you ever know?
Oh, they're just high-tempered people. I don't know if they got into it. They're just high-tempered people. That Bad Lax was a great big fella, and he had a fella where he just knocked him.
Battle Axe have another name?
Matthews Derrick. And Mark Hendricks, he died with the cancer. And, let me see. I had a list. I didn't know several. They told me. Something happened to every one of them.
Yeah.
Some Bath County people in with them. And all. And now I've heard a lot of people say since then, if it had done over again, the colored fellow would come clear, because Red Anderson left him there with them. Sure. Red, he left after that, sold his farm down there, and went to Versailles. He took her, and they've got rid of the baby.
Was it Grant Smith's baby?
I expect it was. I expect it was. And then she married well off. And I was on a federal jury over in Lexington a few years after this, a few years back. And there's a fellow from old Judy. Red Anderson had come back there and bought a farm. And so he was asking me where I was from. I said, old Judy. And he said, well, I was a pallbearer for a good fellow that was raised in your country. He said, Red Anderson. I said, that's the one that, he said, that's the one his daughter got in trouble with. And he said that he had DP, TB2. And he said that they was going to take him to the sanatorium. And six of his neighbors come in there to bid him farewell, goodbye. And he said that he went to all six of them fellas' funeral before he died.
For heaven's sakes. Do you know the name of the girl that got raped at all?
No, I don't. No, I didn't know her.
What happened to Grant Smith's wife? Now, you said she...
I don't know whatever come of her. If I'd asked some of the old colored people, there's an old colored blind fella down here in town. I'll ask him the first time I think about it. Yeah. He would come nearer knowing anybody.
Did Grant Smith have any children?
Children. I don't know whether he did or not. Mm. He lived at Nepton.
And you think this took place what year?
1920. Let's say. And I would say, and Tommy seems to think it's wrong in April. Before school wasn't out, I know we was in school. I'm about the first year of high school. I was 16 years old.
Did you go down to see?
No. But some of them slipped off school and went. But I didn't. I think they had punished them. But the festival, Asher, that picture you saw in it, he went down there and took pictures of them and sold them 15 cents a piece.
And he was a school teacher?
A school teacher.
Who'd he sell them to?
Yeah, students, whoever wanted to buy them, you know. My father, he didn't like that a little bit.
Did anybody think it was wrong that he was lynched?
No, they would believe in that stuff them days, you know.
That was just good enough for him.
Yeah, it was good enough for him.
Did the authorities or the sheriff from Paris or anybody come and ask people who did it?
No, I don't think so. She said something about George Powell. Might have been with him, might have tipped him off, but he wasn't no car. But he didn't get. They got him up there at the jail, and he come on home. But later on, Edward P. Marr was the governor here of Kentucky then, Republican, and he wrote him one of the meanest letters that ever you saw. I had a cousin to read it. Said that it was awful, and told him he ought to impeach him, and I don't know what all he ought to done to. And
the governor wrote
George Powell, the deputy sheriff, you know. But I was talking to the sheriff that he was over then, Clark Rook. I worked under him after that. He don't think George done anything wrong. He don't think he tipped him off or nothing.
Just thinks that it was just overwhelmed.
Yes,
somebody was watching him all the way.
Yeah, they were watching him all the way. He said he didn't believe George tipped him off at all.
Wonder why Grant went to Kalamazoo, Michigan. Did he have relatives?
He must have had some kid connection there. I don't know why. But he left right after they found out down there. And he left and he was gone. I don't know how long it was before they found him, before this happened. But Mark Anderson and Red Anderson went down to Cincinnati. That used to be the biggest Cal Cram detective agency, was the biggest detective agency at that time in Cincinnati. And I understood they gave him $500.
The local law couldn't do anything about it.
No.
Did Grant Smith leave as soon as they found out the girl was pregnant, or had he left before anybody knew the girl was pregnant?
Well, I reckon they got talked and he left. I don't know.
Just up and disappeared.
Yep, disappeared.
I can't believe his wife would even give a minister her husband's picture. I wonder why.
But she just got all worked up, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, why would he want a picture? I think I'd ask him.
Oh, he wanted to spot him after.
Well, I know why he wanted it, but I wonder what excuse he gave to her.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But they said he was a slick-talking nigger preacher. Now, he was a detective, but they have him in all lines of business, I reckon, in the detective agency.
Yeah.
And they said he was a slick.
Wonder what his name was.
I don't know. He did hear.
And he was hung on Conley Hill, or?
The Conley Hill. Go to Fairview and you turn to your right and go down Mays Run. You go down there, you'll see an old road going around a cliff like just before you get to the bridge. There's some guardrails along there. Right along over in that, there's a telephone pole where they hung it. Conley Hill. It used to be steepened before they built this new road.
Yeah.
A horse and buggy wagons they had to pull. Pretty steep.
I heard something about a Pauline Gibson. Who was she?
She was this Mr. Silas Jackson's daughter. She married Charlie Gibson. She's this girl's cousin.
She's the one that took these pictures. That she gave me today, right?
Yeah.
That Maddie Davis gave me.
Yeah.
So her parents let her go to it.
Her parents what?
Must have let her go down there and take. He must have hung there a long time for people to get pictures.
Well, I think about 10 o'clock. I think it happened about when the night train comes down at 8 o'clock. And I would say about 9 or 9:30 is about the time that.
In the evening?
Night. Evening. 8 o'clock. If the train would come down at 8 o'clock. And Von Adams and them got left the depot down here, and they went out there in a car, and he was still warm. So I'd say around 9:30 was about the time they hung him. And they cut him down, I'd say, I don't know at what time, before dinner, I'd say the next day.
Yeah. But well, no sheriff or anything came out and looked at him even hanging there?
I don't think so. I don't think it did.
Just assumed that was good enough for them and let her go.
That's the way they thought them days. But that's right here at home. That makes you hear of those things, but this happened right here at home.
Yeah. Well, I heard people from Mays Lick were involved in that too.
Well, them Robinsons, Tom Bill Robinson lived right there. He's a very popular man.
Yeah.
He used to.
Were any of the Pogues involved in that?
I doubt it. I doubt it. Mm-hmm. There's more over this way. There was one that Kern Power lived over here on this Medgar Mill Road, and there's a bunch of Bath County people in it. And one of them had a T-Model Ford, and he had a tire to go down, and they pulled it over there in Kern Power's barn and shut the door that night. And so they went back the next day and got it. They knowed Kern, he come from over there with them, from where they live. But he never would tell much about it till later on years. He finally told me about them putting the car in there and had the tire go down. Hornbacks is who they was from over Bath County.
Wonder how they got involved in it.
Mark Hendrickson and Red Anderson come from Bath County, you see. And Mark Hendrickson is a Bath, well, he had a brother that lived over in Bath. He traded with them all. Red Anderson come from Bath County.
So it really took in a lot of families, didn't it?
It took in several families, yeah.
How'd the women feel about it?
I don't know. I don't remember much now. They all talk about it.
Get off the subject of the hanging. Go back to your dad. Did your dad ever talk about what it was like growing up, a young boy, around Mays Lick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know where he went to school. Whether he went to school in Mays Lick or where. Maybe it was very close. But he... We talk about the different boys that was there, about the times, and he stayed there. His daddy died when he was 19 years old.
Yeah, that's what you said.
And he stayed there till he's 21. I noticed in that will that you was reading that he had to wait till 21 for the sold the place and stuff. Yeah. Well, that's the way this was. And
but he ever talk about his dad, what it was like, what his dad was like, or?
No, he never did talk much about it. Well, he'd tell about all the things he'd done, but his sisters, there was 12 of them, and there was just 5 lived till this 30 years old. Yeah. And I told him about it, and there used to be a big pond right across from that place. And Mr. Mile down there said he thought that was the cause of them all dying. He said, no, my father said, no, that wasn't it. He said they used to go to dances and dance and get hot and get out and fan themselves and take TB. He thought there's a lot of them died of TB. One of them lived 96 years old.
Who was that?
That was Miss Betty Williams. That's father's older sister, I think. She died in COVID. She lives as 96. My father's 72. I don't know how old Uncle Bill was. He ran the liver stable there.
Now, you've never married.
Never married.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Oh, yeah. I got one sister and 4 brothers, 1 dead.
What's the name of your?
And it's dead, Lee Worthington is the one that died.
And your sister's name?
Mary Neal McLean. She was Argo. She married Argo. And then he died, and she married a Foster McLean. She lived right up here at this house on the right, up top of the hill here.
And your other brothers?
And Marvin, that's the Peach daddy. And then Tommy, he lives down here at the church, by the church. He's the one that keeps all them records and stuff. Yeah.
You boys had a good time growing up, I bet.
Yeah, we didn't have no T-bone steaks to eat. They'd kill meat hogs, 8 big meat hogs, and the hog killing time again, we'd be empty. Meat house would be empty. Mm-hmm. We walked to town, that's all. We didn't have no, maybe rode a horse once in a while. Didn't have any automobiles them days.
Did y'all celebrate holidays when you were growing up?
No.
Didn't celebrate Christmas?
Yeah, Christmas. We'd get some candy, be about all nuts and stuff like that.
Did you ever get any presents when you were a little boy?
Not many.
Anything special you remember?
No, I don't know of any.
You grew up during Prohibition, didn't you?
Uh-huh, yeah. I served the deputy sheriff when it was under Prohibition, too.
Did you have a lot of problems during that time?
Yeah, get whiskey.
Was it made around here, or?
Oh, yeah, they make it around. English, yeah. Bootleg, we used to bootleggers.
Yeah. Were any bootleggers living, say, like around Man's Lick? Were there any around there, or?
Oh, I imagine there was, Over Flemingsburg, the colored people all bootlegged over there then. They'd raid them.
Now, was a bootlegger somebody that made it, or was that somebody
he
that sold it?
Sold it, yeah.
What'd they call somebody that made it?
A moonshiner, I reckon. That's,
How long were you a deputy sheriff?
4 years. From 30 to 34. And I think Roosevelt, didn't he get in 32, and then that done away with the prohibition? I think I'm right somewhere along in that.
Yeah. What other jobs have you held?
Oh, I worked on state highway for engineering crew. After I went to Army, I stayed there for 11 months, and they come man 38, they released them. But you had to go to a defense job. So I went to Willow Run Bomber Plant, Henry Ford Plant, over to Ypsilanti, Michigan. Made B-24. Stayed there 2 years.
That was during World War II.
Yeah, World War II. And I remember World War I. We had a hard time, World War I. You couldn't, everything was red, you couldn't get sugar. And they bootlegged sugar some. Well, they did more in the last war than they did the World War II than they did one. But sugar was $35 a hundred in World War One. We didn't have the money to buy it. A fellow offered to sell us some for that. We didn't have the money. So we had to sweeten, we tried to sweeten coffee with honey.
Any
that's
good?
The awful stuff that you ever saw.
Yeah, I've heard people sweetening with honey, but I've never.
I never could do it. I didn't like it.
The rest of your life, have you been a farmer then?
Mostly farmer, yeah. After I got out of the Army and off the highway, I was working on a state highway for about 13 years, and then I come back and me and my brother farm.
Which brother?
Lee, one that died.
Yeah. How many acres do you own?
I own 170 now, I think.
How many did you and Lee farm together then?
Yeah, we farmed, took care of her mother. She was in a wheelchair for 5 years. And we'd have to stay here and take care of her. Our help is the worst job you ever saw. You go to the mountains and get a girl and she'd stay a week and want to go back. It's a job to get on. My mother didn't want to go to no nursing home. We never put her in there.
Now you say you go to the mountains. Where would you go?
Sandy Hook, Eddy County, and Carter County. And get girls. They'd stay a week somewhere up above Flemingsburg. Stay a week and they want to go back home.
Why would you go that far away to find somebody?
You couldn't get nobody to go around here. Nobody would work. You couldn't hardly get anybody. So finally, in the last 2 years before, we went down here to by Johnson Creek and got a bride, Rena Bride. And her sister lived over on our place. And she's still living in Old Flemingsburg now. And I got her here. And she was the best thing to my mother I ever saw.
Wow, that's good.
And she stayed till mother died. I went to the hospital with her. She's over there now in one of those howlings. She's the best thing you ever saw.
Well, Mr. Worthington, I want to thank you. Doubly thank you.
You're all welcome.
You've been a really a big help to me.